That's fantastic, isn't it?
Amen.
Appreciate the song tonight. Well, it's good to have Brother Brian Cohn, his wife, with us tonight. Missionaries, we've supported now, he said, for 12 years. Man, time flies. And I appreciate them and look forward to the presentation. He's just going to go ahead and show the, instead of him coming up and introducing the video like most missionaries do, and them repeating what's already in the deal, he said he would just like to go ahead and show the video. And then that's what we're going to do. And then you could come up and preach.
What were you doing around 10 years ago? Were you in high school? Maybe you were making plans for your future or going to college. Were you preparing to start a family? You may have been getting your kids ready for graduating high school, or were you at a time and place where you were preparing for retirement? My family and I were getting ready to board a plane to travel to Bangkok, Thailand, in order to serve the Lord in the country He had called us to. My children were 9 and 11 and had never lived more than 20 minutes away from their grandparents. We arrived in a country where 95% of the people are Buddhist and less than 1% are Christians. Our goal was and is to try and bring the people out of darkness and into the light.
สวัสดีครับพวกเราคือครอบครัวคอน missionary ในประเทศไทย Hello, we are the Cohn family missionaries to Thailand. We have been serving the Lord in Bangkok since 2014, and it is our privilege to share what the Lord has been doing. When we arrived in January, we began serving at Grace Baptist Church. During the past 9 years, we were privileged to learn the language and the culture and learn to preach and teach in Thai. We have seen people saved, baptized, and discipled while pastoring this established church. We have sent out missionaries while also supporting new missionaries in the country of Thailand. Prior to COVID, we have been blessed to teach hundreds of English students about Jesus Christ. Post-COVID, we have restarted the English ministries as well as starting a teen Bible study on Tuesdays. We are at a point where God has given us clarity on the next season of ministry. In our next steps, we will take the gospel to a metro area of Bangkok called Bang Pli. Many of the people here have never heard about Jesus Christ. Our desire is to start the Joy Baptist Church. Christchak Baptist Heng Kwam Suk. In a strategic location where there are over 1 million people in a 5-mile radius, a new trend has seen people relocating outside of the Bangkok city limits to Bang Pli. This shift and growth brings with it new neighborhoods, apartments, and businesses. Our family already lives in this area, and we have been building relationships and introducing the people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. With this new church, our prayer is to reach people with the gospel, disciple these believers, and train them to reach others. We want God to build His church like the Bible states in Matthew 16:18. Pray as we search for a building that we can renovate so that it's suitable for a church. Also pray that we can obtain all the equipment the church needs, as well as what we need to open an English center to begin reaching those that wouldn't normally come to a church. This is Joe. In 2019, I was able to lead Joe to Christ after speaking to him several times about a salvation. His fiance, Boom, had been saved several years before at another English outreach ministry. Since then, we have led them through biblical marriage counseling, and I was able to conduct their wedding in a Christ-centered wedding, preaching the gospel to all of their families. Because of his job relocation, they now have moved to Bang Pli. They are excited to be charter members and work to see this new ministry begin to help reach their friends, co-workers, and community. Please pray for Bang Pli, where the need for the light of Jesus Christ is great in a very dark region of the world. Please pray as God turns the hearts of the Thai people from Buddha to Jesus Christ, where many will have to choose faith over their family and culture. We truly believe that prayer, outreach, and missions matters more now than ever. Will you have a part in reaching these people for the gospel?
สวัสดีครับพี่น้องผมพุกว่าครับคุณมาครับป
อาจารย์ชื่นครอบครัวผมในคริสตจักรนี้ครับถ้าทุกครั้งครอบครัวผมกลับประเทศอเมริกาอาจารย์ชื่นผมครอบครัวด้วยนะครับแล้วก็ผมขอบคุณพระเจ้า Hello The only reason I speak Thai when I get up here is really just to impress you, okay? I'm honest with that because I remember when missionaries would come to my church and they spoke in a different language, and man, I was like, man, that is so cool. And I just want to let you know that if you are just trailer trash like me from nowhere and nobody, you can also speak in a different language. And you say, how well do you do it? It sounded good to you, didn't it? So I don't know how many times after I speak Thai, people are like, man, you speak it so well. And I'm like, really, what did I say? Oh, I have no idea, but man, it was really good with whatever you said. I said hello to everyone, and I wanted to thank Pastor for every single time we come back to America. He always invites us to come here. Now, most every church, I got to talk them into having us come, and I got to convince them and somehow, but your church always invites us to come back, and that's how it's always been for your church. It was never a question on if you would have us in and support us. You brought us in, and it's been a blessing to be a part of the missions family of this church, and so this church has a great reputation around Texas and around the areas that I travel. Many people have heard of Heritage Baptist Church in Hazlett, Texas, and so you have a great reputation. You ought to be proud of that. And so it's a pleasure to say, you know, sometimes I say, if they like your church, I was like, yeah, me and Brother Crawford are like super good friends. If you want to have me in, like, oh, yeah, we really like that guy. And so it's a pleasure. It's an honor to be a part of this church, and we appreciate it very much. And so what's funny is I was in a church this morning. The pastor there knew me when I was a teenager, and I think Brother Crawford has known me that long. It's not like we were close, but I know he saw me before doing different stuff over in the whenever I used to be at Norris and all that stuff. And so it's a pleasure to be here. Let me introduce my wife, Jamie. We've been married in less than 2 weeks. We'll be married for 23 years. And yeah, it is. I mean, you need to make sure that you tell her, hey, good job for sticking with me. Because I know every year we have like some sort of husband and wife meeting, and she considers, am I going to sign up for the next following year and make sure that they're still going to go. We have to sign a contract and saying, yeah, this next year. And so it's a yearly commitment that we have to redo. And so looking forward to the meeting this year. So our kids are not with us. We have two children. Our daughter Faith is 20 years old, and she had finished her sophomore year there out at West Coast Baptist College. And our son just graduated high school, and that's one reason we have come back. One is to raise new support, and one is to bring our son back to America so he can begin his life here in America. We did our best while in Thailand to, our home was an American home. So our kids, when they came back home, they experienced America. So we have, in our home, we have Dallas Cowboys and TCU Horned Frogs decoration in our home. And so that's what our kids come home to, because we knew more than likely they would come back to America, at least for a certain amount of time, so that they can acclimate back to America. And so would you do me a favor? Would you pray for our children as we go back to Thailand this time? We will be without our children. And so pray for them as they continue to follow God's will without us right here with them. And then pray for us as we go back. We won't have them with us. And it's going to be difficult not to have our children with us, because we love them and care for them and want to hang out with them. But also, they're good workers in our ministry. And so when we go back, we're down half-staffed. And so if you would like to come and fill those spots, we sure would appreciate it. So there's different things, and so we're going to miss them, and it's going to be difficult. But if you'd pray for us, we sure would appreciate that. If you can also pray for a few other things, first of all, the church that we turned over to the Nationals, Grace Baptist Church, please keep them in your prayers as they continue to serve God. Actually, 2 weeks ago, they had a baptism service. 4 people were baptized, and I know that maybe isn't every Sunday around here in Texas, but that's a big deal in Thailand, especially after they get saved. It's difficult for them to make that next step of baptism, because it's an outward showing of an inward change, and so they have to admit to family and friends and everything, hey, I'm a born-again Christian, and I've rejected Buddha, and I'm going that way. And they also have to admit to themselves that all their family members and other people have
their ancestors that have died and gone on before them are more than likely in a place called hell. And so it's a very difficult step for them to take. And so one young man named Kuntam, he was baptized, and we've been working on him for a long while. And so that's grateful. Grace Baptist Church, they're going to commit to help us in our church plant. Also, there's another church called Sriracha Baptist Church. I don't know if you've seen Sriracha sauce. It's named after that city in Thailand, okay? And so if you can remember that church also, during COVID, their missionary came back and got stuck in America because of the rules. And so we went down there to Sriracha Baptist Church and preached and helped with their teenagers. So we became close with that church. That church also is going to make a commitment to help us with our church plant. So please pray for both of those churches, and then pray for another family, the Files family. They are right now in Bangkok in language school, and they're going to help us with that church plant as well. And then you could also pray. One of our goals to come back here was to raise $25,000. And man, that sounds like a lot of money, because it is. It's nearly the cost of some church's air conditioning situation. So, goodness gracious. So, man, you ought to just put in window units or something like that and cool this place down. But we're trying to raise that, and right now we have about 40% of that. God's really been good to us, and it's to rent a building, to put a deposit on the building, renovate the building, and then get chairs and different things like that. And then one other thing that we really are trying to do is open an English center in our church, so that people will come that wouldn't normally come to church, but will come to learn English. And it's a ministry that we've ran the whole time we're there. We bring people in on Saturdays. They learn English for free for about an hour and a half. And as long as they'll stay for that extra half hour of Bible, we'll teach them English for free. And we've seen lives change and people get saved. The young lady that was in our video, boom, she was saved through an English ministry. That's all they did. And so, and you'd say, what qualifies you to teach English? Nothing, okay? I have no idea how to teach English, but guess what? I look like I can speak English, and so it's helpful, and so it's just an outreach that we do. Do you like teaching English? No, I don't like teaching English either. But it's just another way to introduce Jesus Christ to people who never would have heard or never would have known. And so I'm willing to do those things. If you do that, I used to swallow a goldfish in the bus ministry. I might as well teach English in there. Swallowed a goldfish, kissed a pig. I don't know what all we did, but it's crazy. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5? And I know you're going to turn there and you're going to look at the headings. And I've heard this one before. And I know you have, not this one, hopefully. I don't know, I Googled how a good message, and so I found this one. So hopefully you never heard this one before. But I know you've read through your Bible, and I bet your pastor or different Sunday school classes have taught on the Beatitudes. But we're going to start in verse number 13, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. And I pray that even though it's verses you're familiar with, I became re-familiarized with them, and it felt like it spoke to me brand new and got me excited and interested in what God's Word has to say. And since it's not just a regular old fictional or novel book, it's God's Word, it can speak to us brand new, and I pray it does that again. So Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says this, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord God, we've already had church all over. And Lord God, there's been reports of people being saved and lives changed and new people and visitors coming. Lord God, I pray we are super grateful for you blessing so many churches with those wonderful things. Lord God, I pray that you meet with us tonight, that it would be something special and it wouldn't just be ordinary. I pray it would be extraordinary. Lord, I pray that you'd start with me. Just empty me out of me and fill it up with you. And Lord God, I pray that we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Here they mention two things, salt and light. And I wanted tonight, if you don't mind, I wanted to focus on salt. Not too long ago, there was another missionary that lives there in Bangkok. And we tend to fellowship with other missionaries there in Bangkok and outlying areas of Bangkok. There's nobody else that talks like us or looks like us or likes to have 4th of July like us. So we tend to kind of get together every once in a while. And there was a man there that was a missionary for about 30 years, and he had gotten cancer. And he was very sick. And you say the thing that you do when someone's sick, but you know you really can't say, hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know. And honestly, if you're not a doctor or anything like that, there's really nothing else you can do other than just pray for those folks, because God can do far more than you can do. But because we are world famous, no, internationally famous cooks. Why? Because we are known here and in Thailand. So that's two nations. So we are internationally known chef cooks extraordinaire. He said, could you do this? Or his wife said this. They've been in Thailand a long time, and they eat and live like Thai people. They go down to the street, get a bag of food, of cooked food, and they bring it back, and they eat Thai food every single meal. Well, the doctor said, you need to cut all that out, and you need to increase your protein. And so the wife asked my wife, hey, would you mind cooking us a lot of extra protein? And I said, man, I can do that. And I got my grill out and my smoker out, and I cooked a whole bunch of food so that every Monday we'd cook a whole bunch of food for them on Mondays, and they could store it and freeze it and prepare it. And so it was much easier on her to have the food. And we wanted to do whatever we could do to help his health. And so my wife said, well, you know, what rules? Is he allergic to anything? What are the rules? And he goes, there's only one thing. The doctor said he can't have any salt. And I thought to myself, well, goodness gracious, I think the doctor hates you. Because if you can't have salt, I'm not a magician, okay? When I cook food, I do my best, but I have to use all the resources I have available, and salt is one of the main things. When we came back a few years ago, I wanted to learn how to barbecue, because I don't know if you know this, but Texas barbecue is not popular in Thailand like you think it would be, but it's not. And I began to teach myself how to smoke food. And in order to get that, you must have a good barbecue rub. And if you look at all the most famous barbecue rubs you can, it starts with salt. Now, right before this verse here in verse number 13, we have the Beatitudes. And Jesus was teaching the disciples, those the ones who care, the ones that wanted to be close to him, how they can have a blessed life, a happy life. And he began to teach them, if you'll do these things, if you'll have these things, if you'll experience these things, then you can have a true, abundant Christian life. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are mourn, blessed are meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he is explaining, if you'll do these things, if you have these things, if you experience these things, you can have what a ultimate, fantastic Christian life is. And then he said in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't say that you can be the salt of the earth. If you choose to be, if you work hard, you study hard, you can be salt. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And so it's explaining what we are as God-following Christians. We are salt. But then he explains, if you are salt, but you are not salty salt, that you can just be thrown on the ground and walked on because you are worthless. Ye are salt, but you must be salty salt. You have a job as Christians to be salty salt. Now, I don't know if you ever had a job before, but in our first neighborhood we ever moved in Thailand, there was a man in our neighborhood, and he had a job. And his job was this. Whenever it turned 1 in the morning, he had a gong, and he would gong. 2 in the morning, gong, gong. 3 in the morning, gong, gong, gong. Oh, my goodness, it drove me nuts. And I finally went to my neighbor. I was like, what's going on, okay? I'm trying to get to sleep, you know, at a decent hour, and then this guy keeps on ringing this bell in the middle of the night. I didn't set my Thai guardsman alarm. What's the deal? And they said, well, it's very common back in the day that you would have a guard, and he would signal on the gong to let you know, hey, it's 1 in the morning, and I'm still doing my job. It's 2 in the morning, and I'm the guard. I'm still doing my job. Don't worry, no criminals coming in, because it's 3 in the morning. I'm still doing my job. 4 in the morning, I'm still doing my job. Don't worry, I'm here. Now, I can understand that a criminal would just come between the hours of 2:01 and 2:59 to rob the house, but he wanted to let you know, hey, just in case you hadn't forgotten, I'm still doing my job. We are salt, but our job is to be salty salt. Number one, salt is a valuable commodity. What is salt? The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. Number one, why is salt valuable? You know, the ingredients of salt make it valuable. Now, I know some of you in here are probably chemists, and you know a whole lot more than me, but I had to Google this. And salt is made up of two different chemicals, sodium and chlorine. And if those chemicals are ingested separately, they'll make you sick and you could possibly die. But those two chemicals put together make something amazing, salt. And salt is fantastic. I mean, I don't know what the doctors are telling you, but they're wrong. Salt is fantastic. It brings amazing things to life. Salt. How in the world can two things that would hurt you be good combined together? Well, I think just God is an amazing chemist. And he will take something that's worthless and lousy and horrible and take it kind of like me. And he said, I'll send my son, I'll die on the cross, and I'll save him, and I'll make him something that's worthwhile. It was importance made it valuable. You know, a long time ago, it was a method of trade. You were paid by salt. The first war in China ever fought was fought over salt. One of the oldest books about medicine was 40 ways that you can use salt as medicine. There was a period of time where salt and a pound of gold was about the same value. Now, I know with inflation, it's about that way right about now here. The first patent that was issued by the British government to an American was a patent on salt. The Romans said that besides the sun, salt is the most important thing in life. A good, faithful man was always to be said he was worth his salt. Salt was important and it made it valuable. Salt's involvement makes it valuable. You add salt, it makes things better. You add Jesus, it makes a dirty, rotten, lousy sinner better. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 4 and 5 says this, according to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us. He adopted us because he loves us. Now, you know, I love to tell it, but I really don't understand how in the world he could love a guy like me. But man, he certainly does. The addition of Jesus in our life changes us from something worthless to something amazing. My family and I had the privilege to travel all over America, actually. Not so much the New England areas, but that's all right. I mean, you know those people. But we've also traveled all over Southeast Asia, traveled through countries, and we've had the privilege to taste so many different types of food. And there's some amazing things I could tell you about, and there's some not so amazing things I could tell you about. But my son has a very unique palate. If he could just eat hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and peanut butter jelly every day, he'd be just fine. It doesn't bother him. But if it's particularly good food, he does enjoy it. My son, this is his rating system on food, okay? His rating system is if he eats it. And you go, son, how was that? And he goes, it's pretty good. That means it's lousy, okay? He's just trying to be nice. He goes, Mom, it's pretty good. Means lousy, all right? And then if you say, son, how's that? And he does like it, he'll go, it's awesome, okay? So you got pretty good, which is lousy, awesome, which is good, and then he has another level of when he eats food. He will take a bite of something, and if he thinks it's just the most amazing thing, the first thing he does is, you got to try this. We just went to Andy's Custard the other day. Where in the world has that been all my life? It looks like ice cream, but they claim it's not ice cream, but I don't know who they're fooling, but it's ice cream, all right? It's just squishier. And so we had Andy's ice. As soon as he took that, as soon as he ate what he had, try this is what he does, because it's that good. That's how we ought to be with Jesus. Oh, man, you got to try Jesus. It's fantastic. It's amazing. You've never tasted anything like this. And you know what? I want to tell you that many people here in America have rejected Jesus. But I want to tell you, people in Thailand have never heard, never experienced, never tasted what you and I have tasted. And we need to say, man, have you tried this? It's not just pretty good. It's not just awesome. It's so good enough. I want to share it with you. Amen. Salt. Amen. Number one, what is salt? Number two, it's a vital condiment. What does salt do? Verse number 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor. You know what? Let me read from another translation. You might like this better, okay? It says, te ta gloan nan mot rot kem bai lao. I know, for just a second, Pastor, another translation. Don't do this to me right in front of you. You've already made so many mistakes already. But in Thai, when it's translated, it says this, if salt is not salty, if the saltiness is already gone, it's saying if salt is not salty, that it is not worth anything. Yeah. What does it do? There's something called Iberico ham. I don't know if you've heard about it before. It's a big leg of ham. And if you go to a fancy deli or a fancy buffet or something like that, and you want to order this Iberico ham, they will slice it thinly and you'll take it. It's some of the most expensive, elegant ham you'll ever eaten in your life. One leg of ham is between $500 and $5,000 to buy this. And one ham, or one leg, is about 12 to 13 pounds. This is what they do. They will take that ham, that leg, and hang it in a room that's about 80% humidity for about 2 or 3 months. After that, and during that 2 or 3 months, it'll lose about 60% of its weight. Then they will move that to a climate-controlled room only by the opening and closing of windows, and that will sit there for about 2 or 3 years. And then it will be moved to another area for another 2 years, and they will test it and make sure it is at its peak of goodness. But before it goes through that process, that leg of ham will sit underneath an 8-foot mountain of salt. Because number one, salt preserves. Salt preserves. Salt is vital because it preserves. If you add salt to something, it will stop the decaying process. And if something has began to decay, salt will slow down the decaying process. Salt is the ancient equivalent of refrigeration. You don't want things to go bad, you put it in the fridge. If you don't want things to ever go bad, you stick it in the freezer. And then you don't know what it is because it's freezer burnt, stuff like that. But salt stops things from decaying. Salt also removes impurities that would make food spoil. Salt saves food. Jesus Christ saves us. And we are salt, and we are to be added to this world to stop it from decaying. Amen. Now, I know if you read a newspaper or watch the news or however we get our news today, Twitter or YouTube, the world's in trouble. And the world looks horrible. And we just say it's the end times and it's just lost. But I'm here to say that I think it's because we are not being salty that maybe the world is in the bad shape that it is. Us, we are not being salty enough. If the world is in trouble, we as born-again Christians should stop the world from rotting and be salty. If the world is in trouble, us as Christians, we should make the world a better place. I apologize, most of my illustrations are about food. I was told a long time ago, preach what you know, so that's what I know, okay? There's something in Thai food called pra la. Let's cut on like a pra ra, okay? And pra ra is fermented fish, okay? It's preserved with salt. And it's fermentation is created through controlled microbial growth. And yeah, it's stuff growing to break it down. One time at church, at our church, we have Sunday school and church, and we have lunch every single Sunday, then we have afternoon services and meetings. We're at church all day long. But one day, someone brought pra-ra to church. And I knew what it was. I knew it was fermented fish, which means it is fish that has been broken down over time with whatever. And you can just imagine, it's basically old fish. Now, you know how smelly fresh fish is? You can imagine old fish. But I saw them eating it. They'd take like a piece of cabbage and put that fermented fish in there and eat it. And I was like, man, they are tearing it up like it's the best thing they've ever eaten. I was like, I got to have me some of that. I was like, yeah, scoop me some of that old fish in a piece of cabbage. And I took it and I ate it. And as I bit into it, I realized I'd made one of the largest mistakes in my life. And I thought to myself, how do I get this out of my mouth without them seeing it and being offended? And I finally got it. Man, just thinking about it makes me sick. But I remember getting it down. But you know what? That it didn't kill me. I felt like my mouth was dying, but it didn't kill me. Why? Because salt preserved the fish enough to where it was spoiled just enough to where it tastes better, I guess. But it didn't kill me because the salt preserved. I think we just need to be more salty. If there's a problem in our home, we need to be more salty. Now, I know this church is probably perfect, but there's probably problems in the church. And you know what the problem is? Some of us aren't just being salty. We are salt. We're just not being salty. Salt is also vital. It preserves, but it also flavors. Here's a tip. If you invite someone into your home and they begin to eat your food and they say, hey, Could you please pass the salt? You know why? Your food is lousy, okay? If it wasn't properly seasoned before you brought it to the table, you have... Now listen, if you're going to bring me over to your house, I won't ask for salt, okay? So if whoever is taking me out to like a fancy steak dinner at your house, I'm not going to say pass salt. But I'm just saying, if someone asks for salt, it's because they need to add flavor to their food. Salt flavors. It adds flavor. Do you know, let me just give you a tip, a cooking tip here. If you'll take a steak, even a cheap steak, and you'll put salt, shake salt all over one side and another side, and put it on a drying rack, and put it into your fridge for about 2 or 3 hours. And then you pull that out. What that salt does is it draws out the moisture. The moisture stops it from getting that good sear on the steak. But you put that steak on there, and a few hours later, you pull it out of the fridge, and you let it come to room temperature. You sear it on both sides, and you'll eat it. It'll be the best steak that you've ever had, because that salt will get in, deep down into the meat, instead of just being on the surface on there, but because salt adds flavor. We need to add flavor. We need to add flavor to this church. You're saying, man, I have nothing to add. Oh, no, no. You are salt. We just need to be salty. You need to add flavor to this church. You need to add flavor to your community. And you say, Brother Brian, what's our community? I don't know. But guess what? There's lots of places that you go and do and hang out with people that I'll never be invited to go to that you do. Maybe you have a quilt making community. I'm not a part of that. I wouldn't be good at that, but maybe you do that. Or maybe, and when I say communities, you guys got all these different Facebook groups that you're joined up with, that you're good buddies on friend, stuff like that. You got these different groups. Maybe you drive a motorcycle. That's a community. You can be salt with the motorcycles. Maybe you're playing pickleball, one of the greatest sports that have ever been invented since the eons of time. Maybe you're in a pickleball community. You hang out with those people. You be salt to those people. Maybe you like fantasy football, all right? And you can be a salt in that community. Maybe you like sitting on your couch, eating potato chips, watching college football. That's a community, because you're going to go to somebody else and say, man, did you see TCU this season? Oh, yeah, they've been awesome until that very last game. But that's a community. You need to be salt in the areas that you have influence over, the people you hang out with, the people you talk to. Those are your people. The neighborhood that you're in, you need to be salt in your neighborhood where you live. If your neighbors have never heard about Jesus, you know why? You just aren't salty. When you are salt, but you need to be salty. Those folks see you leaving on Sunday. They reckon you go to church, but they've never heard it from you. We need to be salty with our neighbors. Man, I sure have been seeing a lot of bad stuff about schools and school boards. You know what? I think maybe we just aren't salty.
Amen.
Salt adds flavor, but salt also decreases bitterness. Now, I'm not an expert on coffee, but I have heard if you'll add just a little bit of salt in the coffee grounds before you brew your coffee, it will decrease the bitterness of the coffee. Boy, in this world today, man, do you ever run into somebody who's grumpy or upset or discouraged? We need to add some salt, and it decreases bitterness. We need to be salty. It also increases different flavors in food. It increases the sweetness of food, the sourness of food, the umami flavor. You add salt, and it makes things that taste good taste even better. You ever like that salted caramel thing? I mean, I've seen it at Starbucks. I can't afford it, but you know, salted caramel thing they have. Do you like to eat cantaloupe? Man, if you add just a little bit of salt, it brings out the flavor, the true flavor of cantaloupe. Everything in this world right now can be made better with a born-again Christian that's salty. Everything. Playing basketball is fun, but playing basketball with a bunch of Christians, man, it's way funner until they start being unsalty. You know, I don't know if you ever played basketball with unsalty people, but things of this world are made better with salt. Have you ever been around a salty Christian and they have just a special spirit and they're excited to be at church, excited to be alive, and it just makes you feel better being around those type of people? I'm afraid many of us are losing our flavor, losing our saltiness. In the 1940s, one of the greatest restaurants of all time were created, McDonald's. And listen, this is gonna be good. Okay, so their French fries they make at McDonald's basically are better than anything your mama ever cooked for you, okay? Hot, fresh French fries. And let me tell you why they're so good. They began cooking their French fries in 93% beef tallow. I don't know if beef tallow is, but it's basically beef fat that's rendered down. And they fried their French fries in beef tallow. Can you imagine? But a man was super frustrated after he had a heart attack, and he blamed it on French fries. And he had a 20-year quest against getting rid of beef tallow at McDonald's. And he finally did it. And they switched from beef tallow to vegetable oil. And you know what people began to say? Man, these things just don't taste as good. They're missing something. But if you look on McDonald's website where they have the phrase world's famous French fries, you will see that now in their ingredients, it's cooked with vegetable oil, not beef tallow anymore, but you'll see on there, they will add natural beef flavor to their French fries. Why? French fries had lost their savor. They weren't as good as they were before. We got to do something to get the flavor back. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we need to spend more time at church, hang out with other people, spend more time in our Bible, maybe pray, maybe see some other countries that are suffering and struggling and have never heard about the gospel. Maybe that would infect us to get more salty so that we can get not just be salt, but be salty salt. You are salt, but let's be salty salt. Because if not, then we're going to have to go back and change the recipe. What we got to do? Oh, add some beef flavor. What is salt? What does salt do? Number three, how do we get salty? In verse number 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now listen, you've been in church long enough to know that it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to get you to heaven. It's nothing you've done. No good works get you to heaven. Every other religion teaches the exact opposite of that. You must do good to get into heaven. But our Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ has done everything already. But in this verse right here, it says we are to do good works. And those people are supposed to see our good works. We're supposed to be salty salt. Number one, we need to love people. How should we love people? We should love people and forgive people the way Jesus loves and forgives us. Yep. Be salty. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. We need to love others. The big ones, the ugly ones, the skinny ones, the rich ones, the poor ones, the ones that dress like us, the ones that don't dress like us, the ones that don't go where we go, the ones that don't talk like we talk. We need to love those people and do good to those people. I think the Bible said something about loving your enemies. Now, it ain't easy. That's what we're supposed to do. Be salty. Being salt and light is doing good to people. Have you ever heard of Adoniram Judson? Adoniram Judson was a famous missionary. He went to Burma. And at Burma, he half completed the Burmese English dictionary. When he arrived in Burma, there were no Christians and no churches. At the time of his death, there were over 100 Baptist churches and over 8,000 believers. Burma has the third largest number of Baptists worldwide, right behind the United States and India. In July, every year, every Baptist church has Judson Day, the day that Adoniram Judson came to Burma. They celebrate this day and are grateful that a missionary would come all the way to Burma to tell them about Jesus Christ. But before he arrived in Burma, Adoniram Judson came to churches similar like this one and told about his burden to go all the way to India. He believed God was calling him to India. He said, hey, I'm going to go to India. I'm going to preach to those people in India. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ, and I want you to help me get there. And that's what he did. He went to India, but only after a few months, the government kicked him out of India. And the only reason he went to Burma is because it was the safest, closest country that he can get to where it was safe. Why in the world did God use him in Burma? And what in the world? He was called to India, and he told people he was going to India. But in Burma, amazing things happened. Why? I figured he'd just be salty wherever he went. Yeah. And if I think I'm supposed to be here, but I'm going to have to move over here, I guess I'll just be salty in this situation. We need to be salty. What is salt? What does salt do? How do we get salty? We need to love people. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Salt is needed because our world is rotting. Sometimes we're so busy screaming into the darkness of this world and talking about how horrible it is, the government's bad, the country's bad, and we're screaming into the darkness instead of shining a light in the darkness that needs. We need to be light and we need to be salt. We need to be salty. There's a chicken rice shop right near our home there in Bangkok. Man, I love to go there. You get chicken and top of this special rice and this sauce they put on there. Man, I love it. But we ordered a special way. We get it with no skin because the skin is kind of slimy. We don't like it. And our family, we don't eat cucumbers. There's cucumbers on the side. So when we come to this shop, they know how much we want. They know that we don't want cucumbers, and they know that we don't want the skin. Those people there, they know us. When we come in, they shuffle us in there. We're the only people that look like us that go to that side restaurant. So we're very unique. We kind of stand out a little bit. And so they bring us in there. They set us down. They know our order, and they shout the order to the lady in the back. They know us. They know our order when we go into that restaurant. One time they brought us our order and it had skin on it and cucumbers. The guy yelled at the lady in the back, "Hey, you know these foreigners don't eat this skin and don't eat the cucumber. What are you doing?" And I was like, hey, it's okay. We'll eat it. No, we're taking care of this. We're changing it up and took it back there because they know us. They know our order. But the people at this shop, they know our God. I'd love to tell you stories about how that they've all received Jesus Christ, your Savior, but I can't tell that. But those people at that shop know our God. Why? We're to be salty at the restaurant. We're to be salty at the 7-Eleven. We're to be salty at school. We're to be salty at church. We need to be salty. Let me tell you this story, and then we'll be done. When we started going to language school, You're so excited as a missionary, and you want to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. And so us as missionaries, we're telling everybody about Christ, hoping to get one of them saved. And man, it's so difficult for them to grasp the concept of a God that loves them and cares for them in Jesus Christ that died on the cross for them. It's hard to understand that because they're used to doing, making merit. And the owner of the language school had told a story about how that her sister was quite sick. And she was up very early in the morning to give her offerings to the monks and had done some special things at the temple in order for Buddha or the monks to do something to help her sister to get to feeling better. And my wife told her this, said, "Hey, would you mind if we prayed for your sister?" And she's like, "Oh, my sister's not a Christian." And my wife said, "That's all right, but we'd like to pray for her, you know, because we believe that our God can do amazing things." And she's like, yeah, that'd be great if you'd pray for my sister. And then I remember coming back a week or so later, I was like, "Hey, we want to ask you, how's your sister doing?" She's like, "It's the craziest thing. Yeah. She was supposed to go to the hospital, and she's supposed to get this surgery done. But for some reason now, she's just all better. We don't have any idea what went on." Amen. And I said, "Well, we've been praying for her every day that she would get better." She goes, "You have?" And yeah, we're like, "I want to tell you that my God can do amazing things." Amen. And she goes, "Well, we're not a believer." I said, "That's all right. God loves you too. You're kidding me. Salty. Be salt." Maybe there's somewhere in your life or in your community, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your church, you're like, "You know what? I know I am salt, but I just haven't been salty." God wants to use us, but he needs salty salt. Because if we're not salty, then we're just good enough to be thrown on the ground and walked on. We're just gravel. We're nothing. But if you're a Christian, we ought to be salty salt. If you would please bow your head and close your eyes and we'll have a time invitation, but I want you to consider for just a moment an area in your life, something that you can be in that community. Are you being salty salt? And you're like, "Man, you don't understand, Brother Brian, the world that we live in, the community we live in, the school that we have, the people that we have, the government that we have to deal with. You don't understand how bad it is. Man, it's bad all around. But I think maybe if we were saltier, we could make this world a better place." Be salt. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to be the salty Christians you have called us to. Lord God, I pray that you speak to hearts and minds. And Lord God, I pray that you give us guidance on how we can do a better job of being salt wherever we go. Lord God, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would